And let's get right to it, because we're only here for an hour today. At 6 o'clock, it's the Tom Izzo Show. At 7 o'clock, it's Red Wing Hockey against the Islanders. 7 o'clock on the stream, we've got girls basketball from Marine City as they host Marysville tonight. And on the hotline right now, we've got Paul Costanzo to talk about the final college football game of the season played last night. Clemson led 17-7, but about 600 yards of offense later, LSU won.
Yeah, that Burrow kid's pretty good, as it turns out.
He had 5 touchdown passes last night, so 60 touchdown passes in 15 games this year. Let that kind of sink in for a second.
Yeah, nearly 6,000 yards through 6 interceptions. So pretty impressive season for Joe Burrow. The deep balls that he throws, like just where he puts them is absolutely incredible. And, I mean, yes, LSU has amazing receivers and they get open and they do a good job of designing a great offense. But, man, that kind of accuracy is something that, like, you just I don't know how you defend it sometimes. And it was just really impressive kind of to watch him go through that last night in that big pressure pack situation.
Well, clearly nobody has figured out how to defend it.
No.
they were unstoppable this year. The other thing about Burrow, and he threw the ball 49 times last night, 463 yards. But maybe the biggest plays he made all night long were a couple of times where he ran and made big plays for them. There was a run, like a 29-yard run just before halftime. He had another big run that extended a drive. He scored a touchdown rushing. So it's like, come on, be fair. It's tough enough that we're back here not defending your passing game, but now you're going to run on us too?
Right. Well, that's he's fast. He can move. And I think that, that's overlooked quite a bit because he doesn't run a ton, but also because, his passing stats are so ridiculous. It's an element of the game that makes that offense just that much more unstoppable. You mentioned that run at the end of the half. Might have been the biggest play of the game because that's a play where they don't have any timeouts. It's third down. And it's either, they're going to try a long field goal or maybe you have to punt, who knows. And now 2 plays later, they're scoring a touchdown because they get this big run on a quarterback draw, which nobody saw coming. An incredibly gutsy play by the LSU offensive staff, but 2, just incredible execution by a guy who was able to run because he's been carving you up with his arm, so you turn your head and chase receivers. So just an incredible job all around from LSU.
And just smart because he got along the sideline and he got the yards that he could get, and he didn't try to score. He realized the situation, got out of bounds, and scored on the next play. It turns that situation, you're thinking, if you're Clemson, you're thinking, okay, we can hold them here. Worst case scenario, they get a field goal, and we're down, 24-17 at half. We can do this. And instead, they're attacking where most teams are playing for a field goal, and they end up getting 7 more points.
Yeah. That's LSU's thing all year has been attack, attack, attack. And they very rarely, if ever, have sat back or sat on a lead or done any of that. They're in constant attack mode. So, it's well within their nature to do what they did there. It was in that big moment to call that play with the circumstances around it. It was pretty incredible to see.
So, barring the Cincinnati Bengals hiring Matt Millen or Martin Mayhew between now and the draft, is there any way he's not the number one pick?
I did see a tweet surface today where he was disparaging Skyline Chili. Which I know is big in Cincinnati, so maybe that'll be tough. But no, there's no way. I don't think that he doesn't go number one. And the only question would have been, if Tua Tagovailoa is healthy all season long, Then I think, you know, maybe there's a debate around it. But I mean, what Burrow did and what he showed this season, in all the biggest moments and just in general, I think it, I mean, he's pretty clearly the number one pick for a team that really, really needs a quarterback.
And here's the scary part about it. He was at Ohio State.
I know. I know. It's, yeah, it's kind of crazy. And, you know, he got hurt there a little. And, I mean, not that he was going to, you know, in line to start, but he got behind Haskins, and I don't think he really had a chance to compete for that job a year ago before he left for LSU. But the crazy thing was, like, last year at LSU, he was just kind of a guy. Like, he was just kind of an LSU quarterback. And then this year, absolute explosion. So it's just an incredible story, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, I looked at it last night because I was interested. I wanted to see exactly what the numbers were. And he finished, like, just under 5,700 yards last year, or this year.
Yeah.
Which makes his 2,800 yards that he threw for last year seem insignificant, but he still almost threw for 3,000 yards last year, and nobody was talking about him then.
Yeah, I think he had like 18 touchdowns last year, something like that. But, you know, last year's LSU offense was what we've seen from LSU offenses since the days of Les Miles, which was, you know, incredibly talented and frustrating because that talent wasn't always getting the ball in their hands. And like we talked about last week, they've changed that. And that's their biggest thing, is put the ball in your best player's hands. And, you know, they did a ton of that this year, obviously. And it was really, really fun to watch that. And Burrow, I mean, he matured a ton and I think turned into a passer that I don't know if anybody saw this coming, obviously. But just, I don't know, it's not a turnaround, because like you said, he had a good year last year, but just an absolute explosion from a guy that I don't think anybody saw this much of one coming.
You know, and then every week now, it seems, for the last, since the college bowl season started, there's a new guy every week that's, I think, the best receiver in the nation. It was the kid from Alabama for a little while, but yeah, now it's Jamar Chase for me. 9 catches, 221 yards, and 2 touchdowns last night. Come on. They were chasing him all over the field. Pun intended.
Yeah, right. the play that sticks out to me was, would have been in the second quarter. Burrow put one right on the money to him. And he caught it and kind of stopped, and the corner ran right by him. And it was just an absolute ridiculous, well, throw one, but great catch in stride, and then the athleticism to do what he did there, just amazing. Yeah, and then, I don't know, Terrence Marshall is fantastic. Justin Jefferson's fantastic. I mean, I've named 3 great receivers. We haven't even talked about Randy Moss's kid on the team. I mean, they're nuts. The amount of talent that they have there is incredible. And it was just fun to watch a college team, actually utilize all of that talent, because we don't always see that.
You know, and then they've got a running back, too, that rushed for 110 yards and had another 54 yards receiving last night, and nobody even remembers his hyphenated name.
He is a bowling ball, though, man. He's like 5'8", 200 plus pounds, and you, like, when you watch him run, like, yeah, those dimensions make sense. That's exactly what I would expect from a guy that is that size. So yeah, just a really fun team to watch. And like, Clemson's a fun team to watch too, you know. But LSU, they're just so good, just so good.
I can't look at the Lawrence and not think of the kid from Remember the Titans.
Yes. He's the real life Ronnie Sunshine Bass. That's for sure. And you know, it's funny because Trevor Lawrence is fantastic, and he'll be the number one pick, you know, next year. But there were, like, he was a little shook at times last night, and part of that was LSU getting to him, and I think a lot of it was some of the coverage from those LSU defensive backs. But every time Trevor Lawrence throws an inaccurate pass, like, it feels like a glitch in the matrix. Like, you just don't expect that at all. So it was really weird to see that occasionally from him. But, you know, he's only a true sophomore, so we all have to deal with him again next year.
Now, I don't want to say that you were picking sides, but I understand that you changed the spelling of your last name last night.
I did. I was certainly picking sides. I was a fan of what LSU was doing, so I did change. I took the O off of the end of my last name on Twitter and went with the E A U X. I switched it back this morning. it was a one night thing.
Do you still pronounce it Costanzo or is it Costanzo?
Costanzo, I don't know. I didn't throw a G in there. Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to ask Ed Orgeron. I'd love to hear him say it, actually.
I can't listen to him talk and not think of the assistant coach on the water boy.
You're not alone in that, that's for sure. but yeah, I tell you what does USC think as they watch Ed Orgeron do this at LSU while they continue to keep Clay Helton on board? It's just an incredible turnaround for Ed Orgeron. I don't think anybody saw this coming from him as a coach, but he's a guy that I've definitely learned to like over the years.
It's an interesting business, and it's still, in all sports, this is true, I think, Paul, it's still kind of a buddy-buddy system at the top, and if you get somewhere and somebody likes you, you're going to be there for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, no, that is very, very true. And, you know, different situations, of course, are going to bring out, you know, different things. I mean, if Joe Burrow doesn't transfer to LSU, who knows what happens, right? But everything came together for this LSU team this year. And, I mean, they're really, you look at the teams that they beat and the margins that they beat all of those teams by this year, what they beat five top eight teams this season by a lot. I mean, this is one of the best college football teams we've probably ever seen. And, I mean, it was pretty incredible to watch.
I got about a minute here, Paul. So while I've got you, real quick, glitch in the radar, or is there trouble for Tom Izzo as they got kind of destroyed, to be quite honest about it, by Purdue the other day in college basketball?
I think it's just a glitch. I think it's just a speed bump. There's just too many experienced guys on that team, I think, for them to let this happen. It's a world conference loss. I know it was ugly, but, you know, those things happen. So I think that they'll bounce back, and I think they'll be fine.
And all of a sudden, the honeymoon is over for Juwan Howard now that they're 2-3 in Big Ten play.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine, too. Again, another road loss. Against a pretty good Minnesota team, they've got to figure out how to stop guys from having career nights against them. Like, it just keeps happening, which is a little bit of a problem. But I do think that, you know, come tournament time, they're going to be pretty tough to deal with.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you, Dennis.
We'll be back.